This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
People say, oh, you're creating a coffee, why would you do that? Well, there's many reasons. We want a great tasting cup of coffee that is consistent, but that we feel good about every day.
Many people around the world wouldn't dream of starting their day without their coffee ritual. And they tend to be pretty particular about it. What to buy, where to buy it, how to make it, and when to drink it. But how much thought do they put into the coffee bean itself? The global popularity of coffee contributes to deforestation and erosion, and consumes enormous quantities of water. Some estimate that a standard cup of coffee eats up about 34 gallons of our planet's most vital resource. Furthermore, climate scientists are predicting that as the Earth's temperature rises, coffee may become an untenable crop. But this week's guests on Sea Change Radio want us to be able to keep our coffee rituals, while at the same time radically revolutionizing the beverage. We talk with the co-founders of Otomo Coffee, Andy Kleitsch and Jarrett Stopforth, about their quest to build the perfect cup of Beanless Joe. That's right, they've created a lab-grown Java alternative with none of the environmental impact and all of the punch. We discuss some of the problems plaguing the traditional coffee industry, their process for creating coffee from scratch, and the challenges they face in getting their business brewing. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by the co-founders of Otomo Coffee, Andy Kleitsch and Jarrett Stopforth. Andy, Jarrett, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Hey, thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Alex. Nice to join you today.
So, Andy, in a nutshell, what is Otomo Coffee? Maybe kind of give us the inspiration behind it, if you will.
Well, Otomo started about 6 months ago, really. It's been a quick journey. And I went to Jarrett and I asked him what he wished he was working on right now, but that he wasn't working on. And he mentioned right away, without even hesitation, he goes, I want to make coffee without the coffee bean. And that was not the answer I expected, honestly. That was kind of took me by surprise. I was like, what? Is that even possible? And so I started researching, you know, with Jarrett, we started looking at all the reasons why he wanted to make coffee without the bean. And there's really a lot of great reasons that I didn't understand coming at it from a non-coffee background. I'm an entrepreneur by trade. And so when I started coming into the coffee world and understanding really the ecological damage that occurs in coffee growth and coffee expansion, the way that coffee is going to be facing challenges in the future with deforestation and with climate change, we really started to understand that there's a much bigger story here around coffee. Not only does it not taste that great for most people, but it actually has quite a big impact on the environment as well, which is only going to continue to get worse as climate change continues.
I want to dive into that in a second, but Jarrett, so when Andy asked you what you're interested in doing and you said making coffee without the bean, where did you get that idea?
Well, Alex, I spin things for a life. Andy laughs at me when I say that. I say spin. I use that word a lot. It means create, make, have fun with. I have my doctorate in food science. So I've been making branded consumer products for a very long time, working with the likes of Campbell Soup and Chobani and Kettle and Fire and Soylent. So making products, beverages, food, nutritional supplements, nootropics, you name it. I've been making it, spinning it, if you would. And I love to create things, and I love to solve problems, and I like to perfect things, okay? So I love coffee. Andy and I both love coffee.
Love it.
We are addicts, okay? But I like my coffee a certain way, and I feel like I was not able to get the consistent experience that I want to rely on. You talk about a hook. You want something that you can depend on. And I was disappointed, you know, giving me heartburn, bitter, terrible mouthfeel. I just was not happy with coffee. I could get the same batch, and it would taste different today than it would tomorrow. I could get different batches. I could walk across the street from one Starbucks to another Starbucks and have the same blend, but taste completely different. Coffee disappoints me, and I love coffee. So I said, there's opportunity here. There's opportunity for me to spin the perfect cup of coffee. Smooth, doesn't give you heartburn, zero caffeine, so 100% decaffeinated. Coffee that creates a great smell and great aroma and great mouthfeel, but doesn't give you the bitterness, doesn't leave you wanting more. And I wanted to create coffee that was consistently great, scalable, and sustainable. And that's where I came up with this idea.
Why don't you walk us through the science behind it and where you are in the process? Is it doable? And do you see this being the coffee of the future?
Yeah, so I'll dip into the science and the breakdown and then where we are. I'll keep some stuff to our chest a little bit, as you could well understand, but I will speak in general terms. Coffee is made up of 1,000 compounds. And it's a very complex drink, right? People ask me, what is molecular coffee? And I say to people, what is coffee? You know, is coffee a bean? Is it a plant? Is it a drink? Is it an experience? Right? The Swedish have a word called fika. It's around coffee drinking. It's community. It's the experience of drinking coffee in a community and socializing it, right? And I think of coffee as an experience and a result. Okay, I don't think of coffee as a bean or a hot beverage. I think of coffee as an experience and a result. That's made up of over 1,000 compounds. These compounds constitute aroma, flavor, mouthfeel, color, and the stimulant, the caffeine, right? And this is coffee. You put all of those together, you create an experience and a result. And so what we are doing is looking at different scientific manners, methods, techniques, if you would, that are very commonly known. Emission modeling, omission modeling, so you know, subtraction to get to an endpoint, dilution analysis, finding that perfect concentration, and then olfactometry, how does it smell, and how does it taste. And so we're combining all of these techniques to find out, okay, it may have 1,000 compounds, but if I take 500 of them away, do I still have coffee? If I take another 400 away and I have 100, is it still coffee? If I take one more away and suddenly it's not coffee and I add it back, is it then coffee? Is it part of this experience and this result? So there's a lot of very well-known techniques to build it, if you would, in a molecular manner. So from zero up to something, and it's also very well known to be able to dial in flavors and tastes and mouthfeel. These are taking advantage of many molecular gastronomy techniques as well as typical food science techniques. Things that I've been working on for the last 20 years, right? So yes, it's most certainly possible. We have spun a Protocept 1, something that we've done experimental testing at the University of Washington, and our taste test. You may have seen it on our Kickstarter. And you know, we came out 70% preferred ours versus Starbucks coffee. And you know, at the end of the day, it was showing us that people actually do like the taste of what we're making, an ultra smooth cup of coffee. So we are at the stage of being 6 months into it, but having Protocept 1 and working on Protocept 2 and looking to move this forward so that we can offer a commercial offering Q4 December.
So Andy, maybe you can speak to a little bit more of the business side of things. What the Kickstarter campaign means, what it has brought you, and where you hope it goes. Jarrett just mentioned you're hoping for a commercial launch by the end of this year. What are kind of the hurdles that you need to cross for this to happen?
Yeah, we have several milestones that we're really looking to achieve here over the next 6 months. The first is to nail down what we call our alpha cup, which is our final formula for our beverage. Then we're really going to be working on the grounds production. And how we're delivering this coffee experience is in our grounds. So it's a custom ground material that we're going to manufacture ourselves. And then the third is to actually deliver this in December of this year. And all of this was really, driven by the success of our Kickstarter campaign. And one of the things that everyone asks us when we first tell them that we're creating molecular coffee, they ask us several questions. The first is, what's it made of? The second is, how does it taste? And the third is, why would I buy it? You know, or why would anyone buy it? And so one of the reasons why we launched the Kickstarter was to prove that people have an interest in coffee that has a better footprint than regular coffee, coffee that is actually good for the environment. And I think that's what we've really proven with the success of this Kickstarter campaign.
And do you see it being a standalone brand in terms of a Peet's or a Starbucks, or do you see it being a product that's offered by some of these behemoths in the industry?
We actually see that Otomo is now giving consumers a choice where before they had no choice. So it's almost like now we have electric vehicles and gas-powered vehicles. It's really the same for coffee now. The Otomo gives consumers a choice. And we hope that as many coffee shops as possible will offer those consumers that choice. They can choose existing coffee from existing beans, or they can choose a coffee that's actually better for the environment and better for the planet, and one that is made without beans.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea, the Java and me. Cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Java, sweet and hot. Oops, Miss Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot and I pour me a shot. Cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Slip me a slug from that wonderful mug.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking to Jarrett Stopforth and Andy Kleitch. They're the co-founders of Otomo Coffee. So Andy, you were just speaking about how Otomo Coffee, this coffee beanless coffee, is better for the environment. Why don't we talk about the ways that coffee is not great for the environment and how climate change is affecting stocks and other aspects of the coffee growing industry?
Absolutely. Illy has a famous quote. He was talking about how half of all coffee plantations will no longer support the growth of coffee in 30 years, and they'll have to be moved. And so there's a common term in coffee farming today about, well, how do you move a coffee plantation? It's called up farming, where they continue to go up the hill and up an elevation for better growing conditions. And so what we're seeing here is that climate change and global warming is dramatically affecting the production of coffee in the small bands of regions around the world where you can actually grow coffee. And it's causing rust, it's causing disease, it's causing drought. And so overall, what we're going to see is a shift in where coffee is grown. And we're going to see a real big hit on production. And what that's going to cause is further deforestation. And so, what happens when a coffee plantation moves to a new forested area that has never grown coffee? First, they go in and deforest the land. Then they plant the crops. It takes about 3 to 5 years for those crops to be able to produce coffee. They're applying pesticides. They're polluting the environment. They're hiring slave labor to work those fields. They're then growing the coffee, washing it, drying it, storing it, shipping it around the world. And the part that we think is really sad of all this is that the coffee they're actually shipping is bad coffee. One of the biggest downsides of global warming is that coffee has a shorter growing window now with the higher temperatures. So where coffee would take a full year to mature and grow and get these really nice notes, now it's growing quicker. And thus, it has less time to actually develop these notes. So the coffee that's growing today is not as high quality as in previous years.
And we haven't really talked about water consumption of coffee as well. I've read that it takes up to around 34 gallons of water to produce a single cup of coffee. How would water usage differ in a Otomo Coffee's process?
Yeah, I can address that. Now, Alex, we're not quite finished with the formula and the way that it's spun together. We have our initial prototypes, as I've mentioned. So when we get to, you know, a finished product, I think we'll have more of a concept of the footprint and the scope of what making Atoma would do. But, you know, one of the things I will say is that throughout this journey, because we are not destroying anything or pulling anything down, we are creating something out of what already exists out there that has been used. So if we're using an upcycled material from an existing crop or an existing plant or an existing natural flora, then we are using less by means of not introducing a new process. So I can say for every cup of coffee that Atoma will produce, there won't be new introduction of water into any sort of growing. So we're not going to grow anything. We're not going to make anything. We are going to take stuff that already exists in an industry that may already exist.
And I understand, Jarrett, that you can't give away all your secrets as you're still in the development stage, but give us a little more of a peek into some of the products that you're using. I've read that you're using like reused hulls and seeds and husks to try to get more of the mouth feel. Why don't you kind of walk us through that development stage if you can?
Certainly. And nothing that we use will be anything that I would consider to be trash, right? What we're talking about is when you look at a bean, what is bean? Bean is a coffee bean as is today. It's a high fibrous cellulosic material. So it's like almost like wood, if you would, right? So so if you think of it that way, the way that we've been thinking about building in, so we could make a liquid concentrate or a liquid version that you could taste as coffee. It would be like exactly the way coffee is today. But the way that we want to do it is deliver it to people in a ritual. Remember, I spoke about the experience and the result, right? So we want to bring it to people in a way that they are used to, in a way that they are set up, in a way that they can build their ritual. So we want to bring it to people in the format of beans or pellets, if you would, and grounds. Now, to do that, we have to take the mouthfeel components, the oils, the carbohydrates, the proteins, the flavor molecules, the acids, and we have to build them into an insoluble, non-volatile matrix that can be used in a filtered device to be able to deliver the what we call the essence of coffee, right, while leaving behind the matrix, if you would. So we at Atoma, Andy and I refer to it as the essence and the matrix, right, the carrier and the compound. So we have been looking at a number of different things to answer your question. We've been looking at it. We've settled on nothing yet. We want to make sure it's optimal. We want to make sure it's sustainable. It's got a great footprint. Some of those have been the husks. So the sunflower industry produces a lot of like shelled products for bulk, for cooking, for snacking. And the husks become a byproduct, right? And it's a byproduct with tons of value that could be ground, that could be infused, and that could be a carrier matrix. We talk about watermelon seeds. If you look at the pulping industry and how many watermelon juice products are coming out, and we look at the seeds are a byproduct. High value, huge value, beautiful cellulosic type carrier matrix. We look at spent grains. We look at the brewing industry, right? It's crowded with water use, and it's already using a whole bunch. But out of it is coming a product that we may be able to upcycle and take value out of, right? So these are some examples. They are not ones that we have necessarily chosen. We have to test them. We have to get feedback. We have to understand the footprint. We've got to get it written, documented. We've got a lot of testing to do. But these are some examples.
And have you experimented with the caffeination process? I'm not a coffee drinker, I should tell our listeners, so I don't know all that much about it, but I don't really know if coffee beans are naturally caffeinated or if coffee is decaffeinated. Maybe you can kind of walk a layman through this.
Sure. Well, the bean is naturally caffeinated. There's over 60 plants. And if you think of a couple of examples like the guayusa or the yerba mate, you can see that there's a number of plants other than coffee and tea that are naturally caffeinated. So when you look at coffee and you look at something saying decaffeinated, there's an intense chemical process to decaffeinate it, and there's never 100%. There's always some residue left, right? So when you talk about people who are sensitive to caffeine and react severely to it, and you look at people who say, I love the smell, I even love the taste, but I'm very susceptible to it, I don't want any part of it. The one thing Atomo is going to be able to do by means of elimination entirely and is an omission is have 100%, the first true 100% decaf coffee, because we're simply not going to put it in there.
So what's in the pipeline for Atomo? What should we expect?
Well, we have three versions of Atomo coming out over the next year. The first is an ultra smooth, what we're calling our original blend. The second is a pure 100% decaf. And the third is an espresso bean intended for use in espresso machines.
And I'm assuming you're trying to create a product which is flexible in terms of its drippability, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely. Look, we remember when I spoke to you about this experience and the ritual. What we want to do is bring Atomo to people in a way that they love, in a form that they love, and with whatever device it is they love, whether it's a pour over, an AeroPress, a French press, drip, or a sustainable K-cup. We want to bring it to them in a ground format, so these grounds, or in a pelletized bean, so that they can grind them in their espresso machines, or they can use them in their pour overs, their French press, whatever. So yes, we are going to bring it to them in a very flexible form factor.
This is Alex Wise on CCH Radio. I'm speaking to Jarrett Stopforth and Andy Kleitch. They're the co-founders of Atomo Coffee. When will you know that you've created something that's scalable to be able to bring to market? Give us an idea of the production capability you'll need to meet demand if it's popular.
The one thing to think of in bringing this to market and to be able to scale is that we need to identify if this is something that we can make with existing technology that is out there, or if this is something that we have to build the technology. So we're building IP around how we make these products, right? Both from an essence and a matrix standpoint. We're building IP and trade secrets around that. As we're doing that, we are evaluating how to actually do that and protect our trade secrets and IP, or whether to bring it in-house and create it under one roof that we can control. We will know as we're going through this journey if we can separate state enough so that we can make it outside of our own facility and still be able to do this very well, or if we will need to bring it under our roof and scale it. And when we do bring it, or if we do bring it under our own roof, we will be doing so with scale in mind, so with plenty of white space so that we can address today's needs but build for 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now.
You know, as we looked at production and scaling this product, we looked at all the other co-packers out there and other products that are being developed. And what we discovered was that there are no products being developed today that look like ground coffee and ground coffee beans. It's actually a very unique process that we have to create ourselves and invent ourselves to be able to create this product that everyone immediately identifies. Everyone can look at ground coffee and say, that's ground coffee, or look at a coffee bean and say, that's a coffee bean. And really, there are no processes in place today that we can just leverage. In fact, we've had to invent all of our own processes.
And I should have mentioned that you guys are in Seattle, the global headquarters of the coffee craze with all the deep-pocketed companies there, like a Starbucks. Maybe you can kind of give us a snapshot of the competitive landscape. Have the Starbucks of the world put their resources into doing what you guys are trying to do now?
Yeah, so not that we know of. We do not know of any coffee company out there to date that has tried to create an alternative coffee using molecular means. We have not seen this anywhere. So do we expect it? Do we expect that other coffee companies will be interested in this? I think so. I mean, just knowing that where the bean is headed with the environmental impacts that the bean is going to face and the hardships that the bean is facing, I think we would expect to see all large coffee brands to look to an alternative method. And I think that we can lead that.
And Alex, if I may add in there, I think if you look at all the behemoths in coffee out there currently, who've built great companies and serviced the needs of the nation, you will see that they themselves, and we know of a couple who have identified the risks that they themselves will face in the commodity that they have today, as well as the impact that they're causing on the environment. Because just think about it, right? As demand increases for a higher quality coffee, right? Because Andy says it often, but 80% of the beans that are out there are Robusta. And Robusta, as he calls it, is the donkey of coffee, right? And our tastes are headed upwards. We're looking for higher quality. And as we're looking for higher quality, they have to go and plant more. They've got to free space. They've got to take more trees down. They've got to plant newer, higher quality crops in a small latitude at a small elevation. So they've got very little space, but they've got to go and they've got to go dig it up. Well, there's going to be some environmental pressures on all these companies, and especially as the supply starts dwindling, as they're facing more pressure, the volatility in the space and the pressure from the consumer as to what are you doing for our planet. As we start seeing global warming come, as we start seeing diseases come, and as we start seeing a shortage, they are going to all have to look internally and say, how do we give the nation or the world the fix that they want and still feel good about it tomorrow? Atomo's looking at that. That's what we're looking at. People say, oh, you're creating a coffee. Why would you do that? Well, there's many reasons. We want a great tasting cup of coffee that is consistent, but that we feel good about every day. So there is absolutely a environmental footprint issue here that we are looking to address. And we want to build great coffee that we can rely on and enjoy for the next 500 years.
They're the co-founders of Atomo Coffee. People can go to atomocoffee.com. Jarrett Stopforth and Andy Kleitch. Andy, Jarrett, thanks so much for being my guests on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Gene Harris and the Three Sounds, Don Mitchell, and Buddy Guy. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.